I know we have the command to assemble, but do you have any examples of a letter requesting funds to build a building in the New Testament? You know, I like buildings. I grew up in them. I like padded benches. I like most everything here. I like the stuff I got back home. I meet in them. But I can't justify it. And I don't go to business meetings. I stay out of them as much as I can because I'm down on it nearly all the time. So I just stay out of it. As a youth, I thought I was just wrong. I hadn't figured it out yet. All my life, though, I'm embarrassed when they say generic authority because I hear the next guy come up and say, I want to do this. And they go, I've got generic authority for it. And I'd just be so embarrassed to say that. So, I don't know. I'd make that comment about it. I've asked questions before. And, you know, you can be loud and mention all the good things do and be done. And I look bad and it doesn't do any good for anything. You just don't have a scripture for it. I wish there were. At home, we have two people. And I'll stop real quick here. One person won't eat potluck in the building. Now, we can tell you all we want. Building's just a building. But they've decided that's a holy place. That's what one person said. It's a holy place. She will not eat in the building. We ought to not eat in the building for her sake, just so that she won't be offended by it until we teach her. The other one, she won't eat in the building because she says that's next thing to a fellowship hall. She says, you just can't afford a fellowship hall, and that's why you eat in the building. And so she won't eat in the building. Because she came out of denominationalism. I like buildings because I grew up with them. And you can't have a building without the congregation paying for it because it was done in Eola, Texas. It was done up in Missouri. You may not have the same kind of building because that means some individual or group of individuals on the side, someone else provide this as a point of hospitality. If you include it, you could also include funding for Love Feast, which I'm sure is probably done at some point. I'm reasonably sure it's done sometimes that the collection is used to pay for, or some extra collection is done to do that. Like I said, I'm not down on those things. It's just, I like the good, you know I like going to buildings. I know buildings are a storefront, attracts people to walk in, and I like that. But just, that's my question, comment.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm torn, not with the ownership of buildings. I think that is scriptural. I think from those four categories. But I am torn that many times we fall into what I would call the corporate church mentality. And it's because we've adopted that from the religious world. You know, the church building should never be really our means of evangelism. It never should be our primary means of, you know, bringing people to Christ. It shouldn't be something that, you know, is going to deter from the work of the church by including things that... So, you know, and I do believe the early church, you know, they did meet in homes. You're right. It was a grassroots effort. But that's a different issue, in my view, than saying it's wrong for a church to own what it takes to be able to fulfill that mission of assembly. I mean, if indeed the home, and I'm assuming you're thinking it's okay to meet in the home, perhaps, right? Okay. If indeed we are to meet in the home, would that not have been legislated? And maybe you say it is because we have examples of it, right? Okay. I'm with you on that.
You had a tough topic, Mike.
Not as tough as marriage.
I don't think we should be ashamed of implicit authority. It's real. It exists. We have implicit authority to do things that are required. We have implicit authority to do things that are permitted. We have implicit authority to forbid things. The reason we can't be in the army is because of implicit authority. Love your enemy. That implies I cannot be in the army and shoot him down. We cannot be ashamed of that. I would not be embarrassed about implicit authority. We have the scripture to assemble. To assemble, as you pointed out, includes anything necessary to obey the command is authorized to do. However, having said that, I believe we do have scripture to build a building, to meet in so we can carry out the command to assemble. So I don't think we should say, no, we don't have authority. We do have authority. We do have Scripture. It's just not explicit authority. There is a difference. But implicit authority is authority. It is real. It's not imaginary. And people can say all they want to about, well, you know, people can justify anything by generic authority or implicit authority. No, they can't. You cannot. That is not a true statement. That's too broad of a brush to paint with. Now, I will say this. I think we do think buildings are more necessary than they are sometimes. Right. Because when I got to go to Africa with Alan Bonifay back in April, we saw thousands of apostolic Pentecostal people meeting on the side of the road in a wide spot. All over town. They had the equivalent of a 4th of July meeting. I don't know what the occasion was, but there was a lot with thousands and thousands of Pentecostal, apostolic Pentecostal people. They all met without a building, out just right out there in a field. And then when it was over, they flooded the streets. It was incredible. And it didn't look to me like they needed a building to grow. And I think that we reach, I've heard brethren say, we need a building for the community to take us seriously so that we can grow. So they get the money somehow. They build a nice little old building. I do not know of one church that has grown numerically because they built a building. I do not know of it. Maybe there's a case. I've never heard of it. I have never heard of it. And I think that we do put more emphasis on a building than we should.
Amen. Sometime. I totally agree with that.
I also have a confession to make. I'm not consistent. I was willing to send money to black congregation. To build the building. I feel like if I've got it or we've got it, we've got to be willing to share. And I felt like it borders on being selfish. And so when it came up, times to do that, but I was willing to do that, so I wasn't consistent in regards to that. And the brethren know that back home. And I wanted to say that, but the other still stands. I still, you know, if I was just broke and I didn't have a building, you know, and I just say, hey, I had to get by without it. Just like we had a beggar come by and said, hey, I want some money for the motel. Now, we'd helped this guy a few weeks before. I want money for a motel. We said, well, where'd you sleep last night? You know, we didn't give him money for a motel. We gave him money for food. The collection for the saints, and that's what they call it, 1 Corinthians 16, that was sent to not to a local congregation, but to a faraway place. Mm-hmm. And in 2 Corinthians 8, and I don't want to get off too much, but 2 Corinthians 8, a very wonderful thing comes up about this. I wanted to add it to your list, what the mission of the church was. And that was many thanksgivings. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, towards about the middle of the chapter. Many thanksgivings rose up. The people in Judah were thankful for the proof that they were Christians. These Gentiles are Christians. Look at this money, they're coming. Now, they were hungry, and that satisfied their need, but that wasn't the only thing. This thanksgivings to them, and then thanksgivings by the apostles to the Gentiles, Macedonia strictly, and thanksgivings to God, and then he talks about his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Beautiful, wonderful thing, and it's giving where you get no benefit over here. I mean, the guy sitting over here in Philippi didn't say, oh, my belly sure feels better now that they're fed in Judea. But thanksgiving goes to God. Everybody being thankful back and forth, that should have been one of the things that comes up there. The fruit that would be yielded to God that the Pharisees wouldn't render. So I want to throw that in there if no one else is talking.
Well, first of all, Ron, I've always appreciated your sincerity. I don't think anybody questions that. I do believe, like George mentioned, there is generic authority for things. But I also believe, like you mentioned, the consistency, whether it's in our personal lives or in our use of congregational funds, is very difficult. Because we like to justify something on a very small scale, but we'll condemn a denomination for doing it on what is nothing more than a larger scale. So I think we do have to be careful. And we do have a bit of a corporate church mentality in our culture. It's not that grassroots like I think it should be. But I'm not trying to indict any individual. It's just, I think, the trappings of our culture. So I'm not totally on a different page than you.
Just because we find the meeting in houses in Romans 16 is no reason to draw the conclusion that everyone met in a house, because there's churches in Romans 16 that he doesn't mention where they met. And in Acts 20, they met in an upper room where there were many lights. Well, lights evidently was necessary. I don't know how many lights were necessary, but we need to be too cautious in drawing conclusions that are not valid. Jesus sent the disciples to go find the room where they had the Passover. And it wasn't one that any one of them owned. So it was some kind of room that they, to accommodate their needs at the time.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Again, do what it takes to fulfill the command.
Just to add, in Acts 19, Paul took the brethren and they met in the school of Tyrannus. So a school building is an acceptable place that's not a home. Just for the record, I mean, this is being recorded. People will listen to this maybe in the future. Just for the record, can church treasury money collected on the first day of the week be used to help non-members that walk in off the street that are hungry?
No. The collection, as I mentioned in that second chart, was always for the saints, by the saints, for the saints. I didn't word it that way, but monies were never collected to give to anything outside of the work of the church, which would be the saints in that category.
Okay. I'm using a highlighter right now to get people's...
No, we are not authorized to take the Lord's money. There's no example, command, or anything else, and use it for non-member needy saints.
That's
needy
right.
People.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely not.
Now, would you say something about flowers for a funeral? The flower fund.
Well, when I die, I don't want you to send flowers, because I think they're a waste of money. But that's just my own personal... is that what you meant? You know, in my view, and again, I take a fairly conservative view here, I think. I do not see that as falling under one of the categories, those four categories of the mission of the church. Now, philosophically, there's a little issue here, because many times you call up a florist and you say, we want to send flowers, and they say, well, who shall we say is sending them? Oh, the Church of Christ at 85th and Euclid. Well, no, that's not really the case. There are some individuals. So I think we have to be careful in how we're advertising ourselves, because the world's going to look at that and think, well, the church sent it out of the church treasury. My personal view is that no. Now, I do know of places that have done that, and apparently with them that's no conscience problem. But I don't see that as falling under one of the categories of the work of the church.
Well, I don't either, and I just, you know, the way we take care of it at Seminole, when we do send flowers for people at their funerals, but we take money out of our own pockets. We pool our money together, and somebody goes down to the florist and buys the flowers, and I just think that's important. I think it's important it goes on record that's how at least we take care of it. And I think it should be taken care of out of private funds, not from the church treasury. And, we have a Bible Talk program where people call in, to our telephone message, and they listen to it. The only time anybody ever leaves a message, would you please call me back? I call them back every single time. Do y'all help people with their rent? Do you help people with their electric bill? Do you give people food? And when you tell them no, you never hear from them. When they show up, officer, they always wait till church is over. Mm-hmm. After church is over, mm-hmm. and they don't have to sit through a boring sermon, they come in the door.
Yeah.
And they don't go to the track rack and say, oh, sweetheart, look here, there's a track about baptism. Let's get this and let's read about how to be saved. They want to know if we can get some money. Mm-hmm. And one of our generous people, it wasn't me, but opened up their billfold and gave them $20, needed gas money. Yeah. Gave them $20. Never saw hide nor hair out of them again until months later. They show up at, it's 110 degrees out on the parking lot, and I'm backing out, and here shows up this man and this woman. I almost backed into them, backing up. And I get out, what's going on here? Oh, we were needing some money. And I said, well, you know, I'm sorry, but we don't use the church money for non-members. And the woman, she's doing all the talk. She said, well, you helped him before. And I looked over. And he was the fellow that got the $20 for the gas. And I said, that's right. I said, you did get $20 from us, didn't you? And I said, and we haven't seen you since, have we? And he said, well, we don't have a car to come to church. And I said, well, you got here just now, didn't you? And she just smiled. She said, you got us, didn't you? And these people have no use for our doctrine. For us, they don't want any part of us except our money. Amen. That's all they want. And you can give them money, and you will never see them until they need more money. And you cannot buy a faithful member of the church. If you can, they won't be worth a dime.
I'm sure we all have stories like that. I had one just recently where a next-door neighbor of the church, who wasn't interested in the church, wanted a turkey basket, so I went and put him together one. Come to find out, while I was in Russia, no, not in Russia, I was in a meeting, brother, he hit my wife up for another turkey for the same Thanksgiving dinner. So he ended up with two turkeys, and then I found out he'd gotten $50 from somebody else. So he made out pretty well, but it's a business for some of these folks. Now, there are needy people, but we have to use wisdom.
Mike, let me ask you a question. If the Lord will not hear the prayers of a sinner, or if he will not act on the prayers of a sinner, why would he permit you to take money out of the Lord's treasure and give it to those that are unbelievers?
Isn't that right? That's a good point.
This is kind of just a minor point, kind of a part of my scruples, but I'm usually the one that ends up going buying flowers to send to the funeral or to send to the hospital or whatever else than at Cleburne. And I'm just very particular about this. On the card, I always say, like for the funeral, with deepest sympathy from members of the South Walnut Church of Christ. I always just let it be known as kind of an individual thing from the members, you know, and not from the church itself. And I think most of the people we send that to understand that probably. We send it generally to Christians' funerals who have passed on around the Metroplex area or whatever, you know. But I like people to know it's from the members, not from the church. That's kind of the way I like to do it.
I appreciate what you had to say. But on this question and answer, it's a little bit disconcerting to me. Now, I know what the Bible says in Galatians 6:10, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. And I've been took as many times as the rest of you. But I'll tell you one thing. If someone sincerely comes to me and asks for something, I'd rather give him the money. It's up to between him and God as to whether he's cheating me. But if there's any chance that he may not be, I'll give him the money. So we have to be careful on this subject. There are people that need. And my conscience, in my going around the world, there was a few times that I thought, well, this, you know, I don't know the man. I don't know whether he's sincere or not. But when I look back on these things, I wish I'd have given him what he asked and even more. I'd rather be wrong 100 times than to miss that one man. And of course there's panhandlers all over the place. We don't have a lot, it doesn't take much wisdom to tell when we're getting took sometimes. But that's my attitude about
those outside the church. And then in the church, ordinarily, we would know these people need help. And we're going to do something, whether the church does or not. But we got to be careful about this subject. And not leave the idea that they're out there and they're with a bunch of other people to make them look bad. So that's just my feeling about this subject. It is serious, and we make mistakes when we make these judgments. So it's better to make the mistake than not, I would say.
I appreciate that, Jerry. We do need to have kind hearts.
I agree with Jerry, except that we don't care how much of Jerry's money that Jerry gives away. We do care what the church does with its money, though. And so all of us have, out of our own pockets, given money to panhandlers probably at some time or another. But again, we go back to what you said about when we're talking about the church treasury, it's for the needy saints. I think it's easy for us to talk about panhandlers and needy saints and things because we can sort of skirt some of the issues that bother us, like you mentioned church kitchens, church buses, fellowship halls, gymnasiums. These are issues that we're going to have to deal with because they're increasing more and more across the country. We want to have buildings that we can have weddings in, and then we can go downstairs or go next door into a large fellowship hall and have the reception because the denominations are able to do that. And we want to be in competition with them. And we want to tell people, we want to point to a big elaborate building and say, here's where we go to church. And so this is something that needs to be dealt with, and I think people are just trying to avoid it and be nice here, but it is an issue that's going to affect us greatly over the next generation.
I think that's right. It's a gentle slope that leads to the cliff sometimes.